All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Hope you guys are all right. How's lockdown going? How are you doing? You okay? You've been enjoying these Twitter listening parties. That's been good fun. I did actually do a bit of recording the other day for the Definitely Maybe Twitter listening party, and it went wrong. So I thought that would be a good episode, but it didn't record properly. So that didn't happen. So we've got to do something else. So what we're going to do is, as you're aware, if you are a patron, if you listen to this, we do special Patreon-only episodes. This time last year was the anniversary of the podcast, and I put out one of the Patreon episodes as a little special kind of anniversary bonus birthday kind of present. And we'll do the same here. So this was the most recent Patreon episode that went up a few weeks back. It is me talking to Adam from Listen Up Music about Oasis B-sides. So I hope you guys enjoy this. If you want to hear the rest of the Patreon episodes, then head over to patreon.com/oasispod, where you can sign up and check them out over there. But anyway, yeah, so there's not much going on, obviously, in the world of Oasis. So let's just put out there, get you to have a listen to this. Because everyone's on lockdown, there's nothing much interesting going on, but we might be grabbing some people to do bits of recording and do some interesting episodes. So anyway, so hopefully there will be some more good stuff coming up, but for now, hope you enjoy this, me talking to Adam about B-sides. All right, welcome to the Oasis Podcast. Adam from Listen Up, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks, mate. Are you?
Well, are you good, though, really? Because it's been a pretty heavy weekend for you in the dam.
Yeah, just a touch. You can probably tell by my voice it's been a heavy weekend. I've got a voice like Liam's at the moment.
Thankfully, you don't have to go and then sing in like Brussels the next day or whatever.
Precisely,
so it's not too bad. That's the thing. I mean, were you worried when he pulled out of that previous gig? Were you looking like, oh, no, you know?
Yeah, a little bit. We had quite a lot of people asking us about it, whether we'd still go ahead with the our pre and after show parties, and obviously we were going to do that. So we kind of thought, well, you know, if it doesn't go ahead, then there's still a lot of people over there, and they're likely just to come and see it anyway because we're going to be playing the music they wanted to hear here. So I think we all would have preferred for the gig to go ahead because it just adds to the atmosphere. There's all that natural excitement. You know, people are coming, they're buzzing for the gig. So it just adds to the atmosphere at the pre-show particularly.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So just to let the people know, you do these sort of Listen Up nights where it's often like you do a regular night, don't you? But then you also do these pre-shows and post-shows.
Yeah, we do a lot of things really. But so we're kind of a group of DJs based in Manchester. Yeah, we've got regular nights, but we do like to do pre-show parties for sort of like your bigger acts in around Manchester. So we've done them for Noel before. Now done a couple for Liam. That was the first after show we've done actually, because we've only been going about a year. So the one in Amsterdam was the first after show we'd done, but it was great. But they're the best things we've done so far because they're always packed out. The atmosphere is great, and obviously it's great music as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, how was it arranging it, though? Because, I mean, it's easy enough when you're arranging something in Manchester and you can just nip down and talk to the venue. But I imagine trying to, like, find the place and book it and it would have been a bit of a hassle over there.
Yeah, it was quite hard work, to be honest. It's just perseverance, really, because I just kind of looked up, indie clubs, indie bars, music bars over there, and just kind of pestered people, just kept sending emails. But with the pre-show was at the Waterhole, and Shine On do their gigs over there.
Ah, right.
So I knew that would probably be suitable. So yeah, got in contact with them and they were up for it. And then the after show was at Bar Weber, and they jumped on it as well. But yeah, there's a lot of just turners down because they're into the techno and stuff, so it didn't really fit. But yeah, we got there in the end.
Well, I saw I saw some of the little videos that you guys posted. It looked amazing. It looked people were buzzing.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I literally had goosebumps most of the afternoon. It was just amazing. You know, it's probably the closest we'll get to being Liam ourselves, to be honest. You know, you get people singing back at you, you know. So, yeah, amazing.
Well, I saw on one of the videos, I don't know if it was yourself or one of your pals, but was actually stood there on the stage kind of with a little bit of a Liam swagger going as well. I don't know, was that you?
Yeah, I think was it the bald guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. Why not, mate? Why not enjoy it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I'm embarrassed now.
No, it's good. Well, it's similar to, when we did the Waterette show in May and Tony got up on stage and played the drums. He started playing Supersonic. And I've got that split second where I'm like, okay, what do I do here?
You're one of them.
I'm holding a microphone. Tony McCarroll's playing the drum intro to Supersonic. Do I just sort of hold the mic out to the crowd and get them to sing, or do I just let it go?
Yeah,
I saw it. I'm singing it. I need to be myself, and I absolutely loved it. So no, it looks like such a good time.
We're saying, the thing is, it's particularly that one, because a lot of the time you might be in a box or just kind of tucked away, but particularly there, you've got a stage, so everyone is looking at you. So. Yeah. I think we just feel, I think why people like it so much is because we really get into it. You know, we're just kind of, we're doing exactly what everyone else is doing, the crowds, you know, it's hands in the air, it's, you know, singing like the songs really loud and everything, because we love it as much as other people are playing it to. So I think that's why they work, really.
Yeah, fair enough. And was it all like Oasis and Liam stuff, or did you mix it up a bit?
No, we'd always mix it up. We obviously loads of Oasis, loads of Liam, bit of Noel as well. We're based in Manchester. Manchester's a big thing for us as well, so we play a lot of Manchester classics, and a lot of indie stuff as well, kind of like your big hitting stuff as well. So yeah, it goes down really well.
Oh, fantastic. And I take it, growing up in Manchester, like that was kind of the big music for you, was it?
Oh, without a doubt, for us all, really. We're all kind of a similar age. Obviously there's four of us involved in it. We're all kind of, you know, mid-teens in the 90s. I remember, I think I was 15 when I first heard Wonderwall, and it just took off from there. Got into that, got the album, then I got Death of Mabry, and it was just like a religion to me at that age, and probably the same for you, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about being, I mean, did you grow up in Manchester itself or outside it?
No, we're based in Manchester. I'm from Bolton, which is kind of about half an hour away from Manchester. But yeah, between the four of us, we're kind of spread across Greater Manchester. Probably been a bit fake there. We're from Greater Manchester, not Manchester, but it just sounds better.
Yeah. it's just easier, isn't it? It's like with me, I just say, I'm from Oxford. It's just...
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, especially if you're talking to people that don't quite get it. You know, I was up for a gig in Manchester, and it's one of those things. I was leaving that, it might have been a Man United match, I'm not sure, but it was like one of those, like, it was like quite dark at night. This is pre kind of sat nav, it's a long time ago. And I'm coming out like out of the city, like onto like the M6 or whatever, and I'm like, hold on a minute, like, where do I want to go, to Bury or Preston or Bolton? Like, I don't know. You know, it's just like, I don't know which one is north, south, east, west. I'm like, I just want to go south. Could you not say, point me to London or Birmingham? I'll go for one of them. But when it's like, well, hold on, is it Preston or is it like Bolton? I don't know.
No, you're definitely heading north that way.
I'm like, all right, that's probably why I didn't go home till 4 in the morning. But yeah, no, fair enough. So Yeah, and so one of the things I thought would be cool to talk about, well, no, I said one of the things that you thought would be cool to talk about, and I thought it'd be a great idea, is the B-sides. Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
Obviously, B-sides were a massive part of Oasis. We've talked about it loads of times on various episodes, but it dawned on me that I've never actually done an episode specifically talking about the B-sides. And we've kind of talked about the you know, why they did it and how they did it, and, you know, should they have, you know, I picked up with like McGee that the fact they should have held them back and all that sort of stuff. That's we've kind of done that to death, really. But so one of the things I thought would be really good fun would be to go through our top 10 favorite Oasis B-sides.
Sounds good.
Well, I thought it would be a good idea, and then I tried to do it, and it's just ruined my evening, basically.
Very tough. Yeah, I've been stressed out all day.
How did you find the process?
It's very difficult, and like, as with most things, you know, even just your standard the A sides or, you know, just standard Oasis tracks, it'll probably be different tomorrow.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
I agree. See, it's funny because I've got a good starting point in that I when I've done sort of, you know, just doing this, I've kind of ranked every Oasis song and I've given them all like my score out of 10.
Ah, right. Okay.
So I've kind of got that spreadsheet. So I was able to I didn't have to like flick through the CDs or whatever because I've got my spreadsheet. So I'm like, okay, so I can kind of filter it by B-sides. But then I'm looking down my 10 and I'm like, well, hold on a minute. I don't know, actually. I've got this above this. Would that be in my top 10? And then you've got that whole question of, well, are we choosing what's best or are we choosing what's, you know, we like the most, which is often two very different things, you know. So anyway.
Well, I've come back from Amsterdam, which was all Oasis centered all weekend, and I've done this all afternoon, so I'm in the bad books with the missus. I'll put it down to you.
that's fine, blame me, no problem at all. All right, so let's start it off. Do you want to start us off with your number 10 then?
Yeah, 1 second, I'll just bring it up, mate, 1 sec. I find it. Right, here we go. I think some of these might surprise you.
Go on.
So number 10, I'm going for Let's All Make Believe.
Wow, that's low. That's low. Okay.
You think so?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I just love that tune. It's I just remember the first time I heard it, it just kind of, you know, really hit me. It's different. I always think it would make a cracking Bond theme, that song.
Yeah.
You know, it's got that sort of, I don't know, just sort of like a bit of a mystique about it, and it's like really powerful. Yeah, yeah. I just think it's a fantastic tune, that.
Yeah.
I love the lyrics as well. Really good. Really good.
Yeah. No, completely agree. Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to say a lot about it because, as people.
Is that yours?
It's a little bit higher.
Right, okay. Fair enough.
All right. Number 10 for me is probably a surprise, and I've you know, missed some absolute stonkers to have this in here, but I've got Come On Feel the Noise.
Yeah. Fair dues. Baby, 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 baby.
I've kind of got it because it sort of represents the fact that it's the only cover I've got in there, and it really represents the fact that they did some amazing covers, but it's also, to me, it's so powerful and reminiscent of that time because, you know, the playing it on Jules Holland and the fact it was the, like, Don't Look Back in Anger B-side, and it was on, they did it on, like, Top of the Pops, and it was so exciting, you know, and so, and I just think that the recording is just amazing. It's got so much power to it. So, yeah, I mean, I've dropped.
Well, that's a massive song in the 90s, wasn't it? That was as big as some of the A-sides, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they played it. 95,
96.
Yeah, they played it at Main Road and all that sort of stuff, didn't they?
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a massive one.
But I like all the extra bits as well. You know, at the end where you can hear them, like, laughing and joking and stuff. That adds to it as well. It's great. Girls, grab the boys. Yeah, more crazy now. Yeah, more crazy now. You come on, go about the giant. All right, crack the whip when the whip comes down.
Grab your boys out.
Because it's wild.
Yeah, wild, wild, wild.
Love all that. So yeah, so I have to, you know, I haven't included a lot of amazing songs to get it in there, but my list without that wouldn't be there because it's one I go to a lot. So yeah. So what you got at number 9?
Right. Well, I would have put some covers in, but I was thinking about putting some covers in, but I've just kind of kept it to Oasis written songs, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
So I've got Rocking Chair at 9.
Okay. Cool. All right.
Yeah. Just again, I mean. Again, in the 90s, when you're buying those singles and you take when you used to take it home, £4 for a single taken home, and you know, and you're getting the quality of songs like that is a B-side. It's just amazing. And again, just the lyrics in it as well. Just I always think Roll With It is the weakest single personally, but it's got the best B-sides.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. The song itself, but it is amazing that. Yeah.
So you got that and It's Better People on the same single, just, you know. As, you know, certainly no, but a lot of the bands in the 90s just wouldn't have got near to that sort of level of songwriting.
No.
What Rocking Chair is. Phenomenal.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And you know, it sums it up. I mean, It's Better People isn't on my list, but I absolutely love it. And, yeah. You know, like I joked on Twitter earlier that, like, I was trying to. You know, trying to put this list together, and my shortlist started at 23.
God.
But actually, that was only the things that I'd rated like 8.5 and above. There's stuff that I rate at 8, like You've Got the Heart of a Star and Idler's Dream, like some of these later ones that I haven't had space for. But, you know,
that's it, yeah.
They are, you know, they're all great songs.
They're all great, aren't they? Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Yeah, amazing. They're all fantastic.
It is amazing. all right, so where were we? So that's your number 9. My number 9 is, do you want to be a spaceman? And once again, this one kind of is really, you know, taking into account some other Noel songs that I haven't got in there, like Take Me Away. You know, there's numerous, you know, you could have an album of like the Noel kind of just simple Noel acoustic quiet songs. But Do You Want to Be a Spaceman's always meant a lot. I think it's got that, once again, it's another one with great lyrics, and it's another one that's got that, that wistfulness and that, like, you know, It's
about the youthfulness of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's got that thing of, you know, of that lost youth and that you know, Noel, even when he was writing these things, he's only mid-20s, but yet he had that sort of you know, that old head on young shoulders kind of thing already in a lot of his songs. And, you know, I think
it's very dreamy, isn't it?
I know, I love it. And just so yeah, Do You Want to Be a Spaceman? I think he's absolutely brilliant. And it's so
do you prefer that version or Liam's? Do you like the Liam version of it?
It would be nice to get, like, it would have been nice to hear Liam do it in, like, 1994.
Recorded version, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's good that we've had, like, you know, it later. And I think I do like his voice on it. But I really enjoy, probably do prefer the older version, just because I really like Liam's backing vocals on the old one, you know.
Right.
You know, and just little things like the way Noel's inflection on something like, do you still feel like me, you know, that's that sort of, you know, the fact that Noel can be a bit more nuanced often in the way he sings is I think really good. So yeah, so I probably
I suppose
favor Noel's on, just well, it's all right who are you and me to say what's wrong and what's right? Do you still feel like me? We'll sit down here and we shall see. We can talk and find common ground. And we can just forget about feeling down. We can just forget about life in this town. Well, it's alright, and it's alright. Well, here you and me to say what's wrong and what's right. Do you still feel like me? Well, sit down here and we shall see. We can talk about common ground. We can just forget about feeling down. We can just forget about life in this town.
Yeah, fair enough.
Right, where are we? So that's 9. Who've? What's your 8 then?
Right, my number eight is Thank You for the Good Times.
Interesting. Andy Bell.
I love that tune. Yeah, well, but that's precisely it. I have a mate, we have a debate about this. I loved Oasis Mark 1, but when Gem and Andy came to that band, I just loved it. I thought they, obviously they made the band sound better. I thought they made them look better. And yeah, just when they, just a change in the dynamics of the songwriting as well. So you had kind of four writers at one stage, didn't you?
Yeah.
I just think it's a great song. I'm a big Ride fan. I loved Hurricane Number One. So yeah, I had an interest in Andy's writing anyway. So it was great to see sort of his songs come through.
Mm.
But it's just a good rock and roll tune as well, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like it. It's not in my list. I think it's one of those at the time. I was kind of different to you in that I kind of dropped off Oasis quite a bit in the 2000s. And I still bought the singles. So I remember hearing it at the time and just going, yeah, it's a nice song. But then, you know, it was like, yeah, fine, put the CD single away. And I never really listened to it that much more. And it was only really in the more recent years of getting Spotify and kind of, you know, getting back into Oasis with Spotify, really, that, you know, listen to them on shuffle. So, you know, because I wouldn't have just dug out that single and stuck it on. But actually, once you listen to the single on shuffle, it's like, oh, yeah, I like that song, actually. You know, and there's certain things that did come back at me. So, no, I do really like it. I do really like it. But, you know, once again, there's... How do you fit it in with all these amazing songs? Yeah. What do you drop for it?
I think that's the thing with I think a lot of the older stuff, when people have gone back to it, you know, years later, people have began to enjoy it more. Like you say, you know, I think after albums one and two, well, for three for me as well, but people, it was too close to those being released. If you know what I mean, they were still really fresh, but. And people were always kind of comparing them, but you know, and now we've had the time to kind of look back and reflect. I think people are starting to realise that the latest stuff is up there. It's great.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I agree. And it's just like with any band, like, you know, with you know, other bands like REM or Rolling Stones or U2, all these bands that just keep going and going and going. Mm, and it's like, well, but you'll never replace that special thing of listening to them you were like 16, 17. So the album that comes out when you're 27, it's like, oh yeah, okay, you know, I'll listen to it, but then I've got work and I've got my kids or whatever you've got going on. It doesn't have that same buzz. Whereas then, yeah, I think later on when you go back and listen to those tunes, you go, you know what, if that one had come out in 96 and Do You Want to Be a Spaceman had come out in 2006, it probably would have been flipped around the other way. You know, I would have preferred that one. But anyway, there you go.
Well, it's the same for the band and the fans. Everyone's in different places, aren't they? You know, we move alongside each other, I guess.
Wonderful. I think I'm at my number 8, which is Cloudburst.
Quality tune.
I know, quality tune. We just did it on the A to Z. I absolutely love it. I think actually when I did an interview on our friend Katie Georgiou's podcast, I picked that as my kind of like song to represent kind of getting into Oasis. And it was...
All right, okay.
Yeah, and it was one that, you know, because I had my... like a tape that had definitely maybe on one side the B-sides on the other side, gave it to me by my mate, and it was on there, and I just really remember that sticking out as like, wake up, there's a new day dawning, and just that drum beat, and it was so cool.
It's like a smack in the face, that song, isn't it? You know, it just comes in like that, and then I love the riff at the end, you know, like the riff changes up towards the end.
Yeah,
it's just
and then
amazing
it cuts
tune,
away, that. Goes to the riff, and then comes back in again with Tony's drums. It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
It's I'm surprised I've got it as low as 8, but it's my number 8.
So, again, I've gone for My Sister Lover.
Interesting. Okay.
Great tune. I think sometimes as well, you know, it's probably controversial. I'm not a big fan of stuff like "Don't Look Back in Anger."
Okay.
But it's a great tune. But it was just one of those that just got overplayed and overplayed and overplayed. Like Wonderwall as well, I suppose. You know, if people have a bit of a downer, some people have a downer over that song now. But like I said to people, you know, if I heard Wonderwall or "Don't Look Back in Anger" for the first time tonight, you know, I'd be blown away. Yeah. But they just sometimes some songs just get overplayed that much that you go to other ones, don't you, and kind of, you know, take interest in them. And it's probably the same with some of the B-sides as well, because they were so massive, a lot of the B-sides were just hammered, weren't they, really? Yeah. So me personally, I tend to go to kind of probably the lesser songs isn't right, really, but, you know, probably the less favoured songs.
Yeah, sure.
But again, it's just a great rock and roll song.
Yeah.
Just a great rock and roll song. I like the fact that the title's got that link to, like, Sister Love as well. You know, they were
the band.
One of the early bands they played, weren't they? So I just like that little connection as well. But just a well-written song. I think Stand By Me is another great one for B-sides as well.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And is that sort of thing, would you guys drop that into a live set if you're playing out My Sister Lover?
Maybe. We do play quite a few of the B-sides, but yeah, I suppose we probably tend to play a little bit safer.
Okay. Get a read of the crowd, see if you can get away with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Fair enough. All right, number seven, I'm going Talk Tonight. Love Talk Tonight. Like, I, once again, there's so many things. Like, I'm just looking at my list now and going, like, I haven't included, like, The Fame. I haven't included Flashbacks. I haven't, you know, you just mentioned in there that be like a Be Here Now, and I'm like, oh, there's loads of Be Here Now ones I could have included that I haven't. But
yeah,
and something like Talk Tonight, like you said, it is, it's an obvious one, but if it's not on the list, I'm thinking, oh, come on, Talk Tonight's got to be on the list, just in terms of quality of a song.
It has to be.
It's got to be there, and it's just such an amazing song, so beautifully written, so,
It speaks for itself, doesn't it?
It speaks for itself. What else can you say about it? It's just, you know, and the fact that, once again, like, this is a B-side, and it's probably as famous, or if not more famous, than a lot of a lot of other bands, like, big songs. And also, like, I think for me personally, it's got a little bit of extra importance, because when I was learning to play the guitar, because it starts, it goes E and then A, so I would use it to tune my guitar.
So stuck with you.
So I ended up listening to it a lot. Just Take Me Watch Off and all that.
Just Take Me Watch Off.
Sitting on my own, chewing on a bone, 1,000,000,000 miles from home, when something hit me somewhere right between the eyes.
I love the version with Weller as well.
Oh yeah, that's great.
Classic.
Good. What you got at seven?
Talk Tonight, believe it or not.
Really? Oh, well, that's
right. Talk Tonight.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, then. So, number six, I have got Acquiesce.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, once again, what more can you say about it? You know, it's an absolutely incredible song. And I prefer the live versions over the recorded version. I think the recorded...
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Right. I think the recorded version feels a little bit slow.
Right, okay. So,
whereas I think then there's something in, you know, just seeing them do it live, and when you see like Liam, you know, Liam tear out the verse and then like storm off to the side, and then it goes to Noel, like, all that is just it. It's just such a powerful image, you know. It just conjures up those images of Main Road or from those years, and I absolutely love it. So yeah, Acquiesce for me.
Cool.
Well, you got
right. I've got 1 second. Master plan.
Okay.
Just say, you know, again, just bang it on. You just don't need to say anything about that tune, do you? I mean, come on. I mean, some big songwriters would love to have written that, and will never get close to that tune.
Yeah.
It's just anthemic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amazing.
I'm surprised it's so low for you though, at number six. Like, that's a lot of people's favourite Oasis.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the next ones coming up is probably a surprise that it's above that, but some of them just for kind of personal reasons as well. Yeah. But I love the intro as well, again, because I can play the guitar a little bit, and I kind of learned to play that intro, and I was like really chuffed that I could do it, you know.
That was always a beautiful thing, wasn't it, to learn something. That absolutely. right, so I've got, what have we got next? What was that, six? So my number five is Rocking Chair, which you've already mentioned a little bit lower down. For me, it's just, once again, it's another one lyrics. It's another one of those sort of wistful, this is, you know, he's almost like writing from a character of an older person looking back at his life, which, you know, when you think he was like 20, 25, 26 when he wrote it, which is just ridiculous, really. And it's such a beautiful, you know, and it doesn't really sound like, you know, once again, this, if you only know Oasis from the albums and you hear something like this, you're like, what is that? It's more like REM. You know, it's got that sort of driving acoustic guitar through it, and the acoustic guitar solo, and Liam's voice, I don't think, ever sounded better. I think this is in my top five Liam vocal performances.
We'd love to. We always talk about playing that, you know, in sets, but it's difficult, you know, because the fade in at the beginning.
Yeah.
It almost takes a little bit too long to kind of to come in. Do you know what I mean? When you go in with tunes, but you don't want to kind of cut the intro off because that's part of it. You know, the way it kind of just glides in,
and then it glides out again. So it's almost like it feels
exactly.
The song's eternal. It just keeps going on forever, and you just kind of tune into it for a few minutes, then tune out. But magic. Go on. What's your number five?
Right, it's controversial, this one, but I'm gonna stand by this one. Pass Me Down the Wine.
Are you trolling? What are you doing? Pass Me Down the Wine. That's in my bottom 20 Oasis songs. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, and I can't remember what number I put it, but it was low down. Wow. Okay. Back that up then. Why the hell is Pass Me Down the Wine better than The Master Plan? You maniac.
Well, yeah. I'm just thinking about that now. Actually, yeah. Can we edit this out?
No, this is done. This is done. Go on. No, it's fine. Look,
just a personal thing. I think I'm one for the underrated tracks as well. Yeah, you sure. know, kind of fight from a little bit, but I just like the intro's cool. It's like a driving acoustic track, and so like some of the lyrics, like the middle eight towards the end as well. I'm right in saying Liam wrote that, aren't I? Yeah. So yeah, again, I liked it when Liam's kind of songwriting improved towards the end as well. And I think this is, well, I don't think you agree with me, but I just thought, you know, for someone who didn't start a songwriter to put in stuff like that, I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Love it. And lyrically as well. I like some of the lyrics in it as well.
Mm. Yeah.
To all my sisters and the brothers and stuff like that, when he's singing that, I just love it.
Fair enough. You're wrong, but fair
enough. You're not having that, are you?
Well, no, I think I'm, like you say, in terms of like, you know, I'm not really a songwriter, but as a, you know, if you break it down and just like, I get it, you know, because there's some things that I love, things that other people think, well, that's crap, what are you on about? But yeah, I just, a lot of those all like Won't Let You Down and Pass Me Down the Wine, I'm just like, oh, that's just not good enough. I just don't think it's got, you know, it hasn't got anything going on. You can tell it's someone who doesn't really know how to write songs, sort of knocking out these songs.
You think so?
I just don't think the quality's there. But as I say, music isn't completely objective and subjective.
Yeah, of course.
Sorry. And like, yeah, and yeah. If it does something for you, and I just saw on Twitter today actually when I just posted about talking about B-sides, and a load of people have said Pass Me Down the Wine. So I know it obviously does mean a lot to a lot of people. And to all the mothers, well, come on now, don't be shy. And to all the fathers who are sick and fucking tired.
I, to be fair, I am looking at the master plan and talk tonight underneath it, and might have to revise that.
No, no, don't worry. Okay, what have we got next? Number four for me. And now this is a song that I've often said is my favourite Oasis song, and it, obviously it means a lot because it is the ending song of the podcast. It's Stay Young.
Yeah, people love that, don't they?
I love it, you know, and it's such an amazing song. And it was, you know, when it came out, it was really special because that was my kind of peak. I've been so excited about, you know what I mean, coming out. And then hearing that on the B-side, this is the B-side. Yeah. They're back, you know, they're back. And this is going to be the best album ever, you know. Quite turn out to be. You know, I do still love Be Here Now, absolutely. I think it's brilliant.
Likewise.
But, when you've got something like Stay Young. But I think for me, I've just got it below my top three that are coming, just because maybe with having done the podcast the last 3 years, I'm kind of a little bit over it now. But it is still, I think it's a magic, magic song.
I remember there's an interview with Kasabian, and they quote that, don't they, as being really quite influential on them as well.
I didn't know that, is it?
I'll dig it out for you. But I remember years ago, watching that.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
But yeah, I'll find it for you, mate.
Yeah, cool. Okay. right, so that's number four.
Number three, Step Out.
Step Out. Oh, that was one I had to drop, and I was really annoyed about it.
Just a banger. That is a banger. Love that tune.
Yeah. I tell you what, that for me is a driving song. That is always, you stick it on and you can just, maybe it's because it's got that line about burning down the road or whatever, but
it's just immense. It's like it's on fire, that song. It's just incredible. I remember when they did it, when I got to see it and do it live, just loved it. It was just like a real surprise when they did it as well, you know. God, what can you say?
Does it
Double Back in Anger for B-sides?
Yeah,
you know, some great ones.
Ridiculous.
On that.
Ones. Lose points for being a rip-off of Uptight by Stevie Wonder?
You just got to put that to one side, haven't you? Just see through it.
Yeah. No, I was going to include it, and I'd also knocked out The Fame as well, and I had The Fame and that one. I was like, well, I've got to include one of those because they both kind of very similar for me, and that sort of real driving kind of Noel-led. And I don't normally like really go for like the Noel-led rockers. I normally prefer Liam to do the rockers, but I think Noel's at that time as well, like, just his voice was just so perfect for those. And did you hear the Step Out footage that leaked last year with Liam singing it?
It's interesting, isn't it? It's really interesting, that. I love all stuff like that, you know, like these little kind of, like these things come up, you know, all these little takes and different versions and everything. It's really interesting. You just wonder kind of like you wonder how that kind of the conversation's played out about, you know, how Noel's ended up staying on it, and, you know, it's fascinating.
Why they didn't release it. You know, they could release it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We know it exists, you know, but anyway. all right, so that was your number three.
That was my number three,
so
yeah.
My number three is Let's All Make Believe.
That's high,
but I think it's a really special song for me. I think it does something that a lot of Oasis songs don't do, which is that sort of similar to like Gas Panic and things like that, that there's like a level of introspection and there's sort of you know, I think as you said, the lyrics are amazing, the sound of it is amazing. It's pretty much a perfect song, I think, the way it builds, the soundscape of it, the way it's just incredible. And Liam's voice, once again, it's another top five kind of Liam vocal performances for me. So
yeah, it's right up there.
So it
that.
Is
yeah.
right there for me at number three. Strangle my hope and make me pray to a God I've never seen, but who I betray to the people who live the afterlife in a place I'll never be till I'm crucified. So let's all make believe we're still friends and we like each other.
I'm just thinking, you know, when you think about it, like the early singles have like, you know, the four B sides on it, and you know, you get to that stage with that where they went down to three. You know, that was like slightly disappointing. And the further went on, there was quite a lot of remixes coming in. It kind of tells the tale of the band kind of, you know, fading out, doesn't it,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, you could probably do, of these, you know, if you've got every B-side in a list, you know, you've got probably, I don't know, like 40 from like 95 to 97, and then there's probably
that's it,
12
yeah.
From,
yeah,
that's like, it. From the last like 15 years, you know what I mean? That's just not, you know, you just couldn't. Well, I think a lot of it was just getting Liam into the studio. You know, I think that that's... You know,
exactly,
I just,
yeah.
I think they struggled to get him into record the album, let alone the B-side, so... good. So we're on to your number two.
Acquiesce.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Well, when we play that at the pre-show parties and the after shows, just fasten your seatbelts, time, isn't it? Really, Acquiesce.
No, absolutely, it's amazing. I hope that I can say the things I wish I'd said. My number two is Round Our Way.
Talk about,
you know, like a stomper. Brilliant. To play on a pre-show or whatever. I absolutely love Round Our Way. It's often when people ask me what my favourite Oasis song is, I'll go Round Our Way. Just because, you know, I think there's probably better songs. I think Don't Look Back in Anger is better. Champagne Supernova is better. Mm. But in terms of what I want to put on, it's probably the song I've played the most. Of Oasis, because
really?
I love it. I just hammer it all the time. And the horns, because I love horns, and Mark Felton's harmonica throughout it. I just love it. And it's just such an incredible, buoyant, joyous piece of music. So Round Our Way is my number two.
I love the version of that on the MTV Unplugged.
Yes,
absolutely.
Well, Mark Felton goes mental on that one. He's going for it. Yeah. He's absolutely going for it. So we come to your number one.
Yeah, clues in the title. Listen up.
Listen up. All right, fair enough.
Yeah, gotta be. Top three Oasis songs for me. That I just love that tune so much.
Yeah,
just love it. Yeah, it's just well written. everything about it. I love the drum solo at the beginning. Well, no, it's not, sorry, not drum solo, but the drums coming at the beginning, which was sort of typical of that time, wasn't it, as well? Again, just lyrics, you know, sailing down the river alone. Yeah. It just does something to me, that song. Love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah.
It's got a weird sound, isn't it? The guitar sound on it is very interesting.
The
guitar sounds a bit different and weird. And
It's quite a raw sound, I think.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah. It's not quite got the sort of the full kind of sheen.
It's not quite polished, is it?
Yet.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah,
but again, you know, voice. Just... Yeah. When you just, you're buying a single for £4 at 17, or whatever it was, and, you know, that comes in as a B-side, it's like... It just blew my mind.
Yeah.
Well, then there's that expectation that every other band would be like that, and they weren't, you know, so...
Yeah. I think it's, for me, the magic of that song is that, like, One Fine Day, the melody on that, One Fine Day, I'll Leave You All Behind, Wouldn't Be So Bad, I've Had My Time. That,
yeah.
I mean, I love the chorus, yeah, and I love the verse as well, but that element, that part, you know, whatever he's doing there, I'd need to look at the chords, but... You know, that switch, whether he goes to minor or whatever in that moment,
yeah,
is just, that's in my top. I haven't included it in my list. The reason it's not in my 10, and once again, it was one that I fought for and you know, do I include it or not? I think I didn't, because I find it, you know, I really like Slide Away, and I kind of see it as a very similar song to Slide Away. So, kind of... I think it kind of loses a bit because it's similar to Slide Away, and therefore Slide Away being, you know, Slide Away, it kind of pales a little bit for me, and you know, I think a few people.
Yeah, I get you.
Because
get
it's
you.
Like, oh, it's not the not quite as good version of Slide Away, but it's still it is absolutely incredible. And maybe I think it just goes on a little bit long. So I probably don't, you know, personally, when I'm going to put on a tune, like I'm much more likely to put on a Round Our Way or a Stay Young, that's okay, got that bouncy vibe to it, or like a, you know, the Fame, Flashbacks, Step Out. Listen Up, am I likely to put that on? It's a bit more of a chilled out, you know.
I get you there. Yeah, it is.
I'm less likely to go for the chilled out than I am to go for the bouncy, to be
right.
honest.
Yeah. I think I like what with what Neil Noel did it later on. You know, when he kind of some of the acoustic versions did of it as well. I think they work really well too.
Yeah.
Again, that version, there's a version of it from MTV Unplugged, which didn't go out on the broadcast, did it?
Yes. That's right.
Yeah. That's just phenomenal. I mean, again, how'd you cut that from a program?
I don't.
You know, it's just God.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, but no, that's fantastic. Right, so it's mine to finish, and mine is The Master Plan.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, once again, I think it's obvious, and I bounced around because, you know, as I say, I do, Stay Young is very special to me from the pod. Round Our Way, I've often said, is my favourite Oasis song. Let's All Make Believe, I think, might be, you know, the best, one of the best songs they wrote. But then when you look at The Master Plan, I don't think, you know, as a big Beatles fan, like, if that was a Beatles song, it would be up there with the best Beatles songs. You know, I think, you know what?
I was just thinking the same. I was just thinking exactly the same thing. If you stuck that on a best of Beatles compilation, it'd sit there quite easily, wouldn't it? You know,
just everything about it. You know, like the intro. You know, it's so clever. It's so you know, all of that stuff is just so good. You know, and it's ridiculous. I think that is the perfect example of what the hell were you doing holding that back? You know, that is the one. It's like, that is the centerpiece of an album. And it was, you know, that's like them putting Champagne Supernova or Don't Look Back in Anger on a B-side. You know, it's unbelievable to think that they would, that anyone would do that. But yeah.
And then put Roll Without as a single.
Yeah. Yeah, although, you know what, you're making pop songs, aren't you? You know, and you're making pop single to play on the radio. So I think you always have to remember that, don't you? Like the context in the time of what they were trying to do. And I think something like that, it makes sense. But yeah, when you've got a song like that, it's just stupid. And McGee has said as much, you know, on this show that he can't. He said, look, I take the responsibility for it. You know,
Right.
He goes, I thought it was going to go on forever. I thought he could just keep knocking out all these acquiesces and master plans. And then it was like, okay, no, maybe not. But
I suppose it adds to the beauty of it as well, though, doesn't it?
Of course,
you know that. You know, they have those things as track 2, 3, and 4. It just, you know, it's just that's Oasis for you, isn't it? That was the beauty of them, and that's why everyone loves them.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, if you ever, you know, all you need to do is I mean, that's probably the thing. If you list like 5 things that people love most about Oasis, right in there is the B-sides. Like such an important part of that band, whether it's like the attitude, Liam's voice, Noel's songwriting. The fact they had amazing, like ridiculously good B-sides.
Yeah.
And however you came to them, like for us, it was like, okay, you're collecting the CD singles as you go and you're getting home, you're sticking it on and hearing it and being like, what? And so you're like having a mini album every couple of months. Whereas then, you know, you're Americans and people that have come to it later that have like, you know, that picked up the Masterplan album. And then suddenly they're like, what the hell is this? There's a whole other album, you know, or then the younger kids like probably getting into it now where it's like, you know, they're digging into Spotify or whatever and just being like, what? Mm. You know, there's all these extra songs. You know, most bands have got
it's a thing of the past now, isn't it? It's just, B-sides are gone, aren't they? You know, it's just been and gone, you know.
Yeah.
I think when you look back to that period as well, again, I know it sounds like we both, you know, we're getting into music at a similar age, you know, when you, there's other great, really great bands around that time, but you know, when you listen to some of their B-sides, some of it was just real filler, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Absolute filler.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Like, you know, Oasis was, you know, as important as anything for them to sound good, which is why they're above everybody else, I guess.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Good. All right. I think we're done. That was our top 10.
Cool.
Have you got yours handy just to run through and just give us the rundown from 10 to 1?
Yeah, no worries.
Go on then.
So, 1 second. It is... So, 10, Let's All Make Believe. 9, Rocking Chair. 8, Thank You for the Good Times. 7, My Sister Lover. 6, Talk Tonight. 5, The Master Plan. 4, Pass Me Down the Wine. 3, Step Out. 2, Acquiesce. And 1, Listen Up.
Fair enough. For mine, I've got 10, Come On, Feel the Noise. 9, Do You Want to Be a Spaceman? 8, Cloudburst. 7, Talk Tonight. 6, Acquiesce. 5, Rocking Chair. 4, Stay Young. 3, Let's All Make Believe. 2, Round Our Way. And 1, The Master Plan.
Sail them home with Acquiesce on a ship of hope today. And as they land upon the shore, tell them not to fear no more. Say it loud and sing it proud today. And then dance if you want to dance. Please, brother, take a chance. You know they're gonna go which way they want to go. All we know is that we don't know how it's gonna be. Please, brother, let it be. Life on the other hand won't make us understand. We're all part of a master plan.
And so just to clarify what some of the ones that I've missed out here, right? So included Flashbacks. What are we missing? Half the World Away, neither of us have picked.
Yeah, yeah.
Bonehead's Bank Holiday, Head Shrinker,
Going Nowhere.
Going Nowhere. Step Out. Yeah, yeah. You had Step Out, I didn't.
Yeah.
Street Fighting Man, The Fame.
My Generation.
My Generation. Sad Song.
Yeah. I'm the Walrus.
I'm the Walrus. It's Good to Be Free. what else? It's Better People. Angel Child. Take Me Away. This is ridiculous.
Yeah,
this is ridiculous when you break them down like that. You've got The Heart of a Star, Idler's Dream. you know, which I haven't really picked anything from the late years, but they are brilliant. Mm. You know, you've got to hide your love away. As long as they've got Cigarettes in Hell, Underneath the Sky. Someone said earlier they would unfollow me if Underneath the Sky wasn't in my top 10. That's not even, you know what? It's madness. Swamp Song, I Got the Fever. You know, neither of us have picked.
Should do this again.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? It's ridiculous. What, you know, this.
Well, like you say, though, it's all personal choices, though, isn't it? You know, I think the bottom line is I think everyone agrees that all those B-sides are just amazing, aren't they?
Yeah,
you know, it's good fun to pick your top 10 because it's so difficult. Yeah. That says it all.
Ridiculous. Cool. All right, Adam, thank you so much for your time, mate. Much appreciated.
No, pleasure.
That was really
pleasure.
Good fun. And if people want to look up you guys at Listen Up, where are you next out and how can they find you?
Yeah, we've got a gig on Wednesday the 12th with a band called Afflex Palace in Manchester.
Oh, I've heard of them. Yeah, I know them.
I haven't heard them, I don't think,
but I've heard that they're causing some waves, yeah.
Oh yeah, they're on the Steve Lamatt show tonight.
Oh, wow!
But yeah, brilliant band from Manchester, and I think it's the only gig they're going to do. They weren't planning on doing any gigs, so they've decided to do this one-off gig at Band on the Wall at Manchester, and somehow we managed to blag a DJ spot with them. So,
fantastic.
So yeah, but if you want to find us, it's Listen Up Music on Facebook, on Twitter. Let me just find it.
What's your Twitter handle? I've probably got it.
Yeah. @ListenUpMusic.
It's @ListenUpMusic_. Yeah. There you go.
And then Instagram as well, @ListenUpMusic.
Fair play. Brilliant stuff. All right, Adam.
No, I appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity to speak to you, mate.
No worries. All the best, mate. And we'll speak soon.
Yeah, same to you.